prepared this time that the words of my mouth, the meditations of my heart, the hearing and understanding of those present would be acceptable in your sight now and forevermore. Amen. Has anyone noticed as we've been going through the Sermon on the Mount, has anyone else noticed how easy it is to be a Christian? How much simpler everything is? No, it's not. And guess what? It's going to get harder. Matthew chapter 5, verses 43 to 48. You have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. He causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain to the righteous and the unrighteous. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not even the tax collectors doing that? And if you greet only your brothers, what are you doing more than others? Do not even pagans do that? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. Now, I don't know if anybody here has an arch enemy, like some person that there's just no way you could love them. Well, guess what? You have to. I think this verse really hit me the most shortly after September 11th. I remember that day very vividly. I had the day off of work because I had a doctor's appointment in the middle of the day, and it was just easier to take the day and go to the doctor. And I got up and I was sitting there watching TV, and they cut into the whatever news show I was watching for news of the World Trade Center burning. And I remember just sitting there watching that, just watching it and watching it. And then the second plane hit. And then word came that a plane had crashed into the Pentagon. And that really kind of hit me even more because my oldest brother had an office at the Pentagon, or so I thought. It turned out that his office had been relocated just a couple weeks earlier. And just the whole business of terrorism. And then I don't remember exactly how long it was until we found out that Osama bin Laden was behind it. So we had a name and we had a face to put on our anger and our hate. We had an enemy, someone who had attacked this country, and the whole nation was hating. And I was hating right along with everybody else. I don't think before 9/11 happened we had a flag, but sure enough, as soon as I could find one, we put it up. And then I was reading this passage that said you're supposed to love your enemies and forgive those who persecute you. And I thought, well, surely they weren't talking about terrorists. Certainly Jesus wasn't talking about terrorists, but sure enough, he was. He was talking about whatever enemies we have. And it was really hard for me to pray for Osama bin Laden, but I managed. First, it was the kind of prayer like, please God, have somebody find him. But then I remembered the fact, not only did Jesus Christ die on the cross for me, but he died on the cross for everybody, including the terrorists, including Osama bin Laden. So I started to pray that Osama bin Laden's heart would be touched and changed, and that he would find out who God really was. And the first few times I made that prayer, I kind of choked on it, because deep down, I really didn't want that. It's kind of handy for us, even as Christians, to be able to point to some people and say, you know, here are the people who are in heaven and here are the people who are in hell. It's really handy for us, you know, because we want to talk about bad people and we can point at Hitler and we can point at bin Laden. But I continued that prayer, and the more I prayed it, the easier it became, and the more I felt a burden for the terrorists, the enemy. And it's easy for us in a time of war to know who our enemy is, isn't it? It's easy for us because, you know, we watch the news and we read the papers and we hear the stories and the propaganda, and it's easy for us to recognize who the enemy is. But we also have enemies in our regular everyday lives, and that's unfortunate. There are people who persecute us, people who speak against us, people who stand against us, and we are called to love them and pray for them. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? It's easy to love somebody that loves you, right? Your family members are supposed to love you, and if you love them back, well, you're supposed to do that. Some of our family members may not love us quite so much, and it's harder for us to love them. I mean, we have spats. I know one of the stories I love telling I'm telling a story about Robin, and I don't think she minds because I've told this story before. She has a little brother named Billy, and they used to fight a lot, believe it or not. Big sister and little brother fighting with each other. Well, one time Billy decided he wanted to get her in trouble, so he came up with this cunning plan. He bit his arm really hard and went crying to Mom, "Robbie bit me. Well, here's the teeth marks to prove it." So, of course, Mom calls Robin in and says, "Did you bite your brother?" She says, "No." He says, "Well, he's got teeth marks on his arm." "Well, that's not me. If I bit him, it would look like this." And she bit him. See? If you're going to get in trouble for something, you might as well do it, right? So we don't always get along, even with our own family members. And you know what? Sometimes our family members are the enemy. I mean, there's a little tiny war going on right there. Well, end that war and start praying for them. Maybe it will lead to reconciliation, as it says here. Maybe you've got a family member that you haven't talked to or seen in years. Well, maybe it's time to start praying for them because they did something. Maybe it's time to put that behind you. I remember as a kid in middle school, I had a best friend. His name was Casey. And he lived down the street from me, and we used to do just about everything together. And then one day we had a fight over something. It was like right at the beginning of the summer. And that was a horrible summer because we didn't do anything together the whole summer. And, you know, we'd see each other passing in the street when, you know, he'd be riding his bicycle by the house. And, you know, just, nope, he's not my friend anymore. You know how kids can be. Yeah, he's not my friend anymore. Whatever. Close to the, you know, school started up again the next year, and he was sitting near me in one of the classes, and we just kind of looking at each other, and all of a sudden, we both realized we couldn't even remember what we were fighting over. Whatever the problem was, we made up. And what horrible thing could it have been? Who knows? It's easy to love those who love you, but it is harder to love your enemies. It's harder to love somebody that is against you. And certainly it's nothing we've done, because we're all perfect people here, and none of us have ever upset anybody, and none of us have ever crossed anybody, and none of us have ever made anybody angry. And well, maybe we have, and maybe we need to seek their forgiveness. Maybe we need to pray that God will soften their hearts so that they can forgive us, and we can reach that reconciliation that we are asked to receive. Anybody can apologize, but it's hard. I really love the way the last verse of this passage is stated. Be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. Isn't it easy being a Christian? What's that? Jesus expects us to be perfect. Well, since we're Christians, I guess we are perfect because we're Christians, aren't we? The answer is no. In case you were wondering, Paul said in Romans chapter 12, verse 14, "Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse." It's so easy to curse somebody, isn't it? It's so easy for us to lose our temper and to yell at somebody or gesture at them or something, especially when they can't see you, when they're in the car that cuts you off and they're really not looking back at what you're doing and they can't hear you because the windows are rolled up. We have choice words for them that we would say to their faces, we think, but we probably wouldn't. But why did they cut you off? Obviously because they're jerks, right? Well, my friend Tom, Pastor Tom, tells a story of when he was once driving recklessly because he had received a phone call that his son was in an accident and wasn't expected to live long, and please get there as fast as you can. And on the way there, he cut people off, and he ran through stop signs, and he did all the things that we curse people for doing. And if anybody had known where he was going, would we not have forgiven them? Would we not have forgiven him? If you were making the same trip, would you obey all the traffic laws? I don't think I would. Bless and do not curse. You know, when somebody cuts you off in traffic or goes through a red light or something like that, here's a good blessing. Lord, see them safely to where they're going. Watch over them and their families, whoever's with them. We learned just recently, last week, some friends of ours were in quite a horrible automobile accident. And there's been a lot of prayer for them. And it might have been the kind of thing, I don't know a whole lot of details about it, but there might have been some cursing going on McKnight Road last week because traffic was held up for hours. There were probably some people in their cars having some bad words, some bad thoughts. One of the things we need to remember when we consider how we respond to our enemies, whomever they may be, Romans chapter 5, verses 9 through 11. Since we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? For if, when we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his Son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? Not only this so, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. You see, there was a time when we were God's enemies. We were God's enemies. And where did that get us? You see, your enemies don't need to be your enemies. I think it was Winston Churchill who said the best way to defeat your enemy is to make him your friend. I think it was Churchill who said that. I'm going to have to double check. But we in our lives have that opportunity. We have the opportunity to destroy our enemies, not with our fists, but with our hearts. Whoever it is that is against you, whoever you are against, you have an opportunity to reconcile that relationship, or at least try to. Pray for those people. That can't hurt. It's certainly not a waste of time. But to pray for those people so that maybe their hearts will be softened, or maybe your heart will be softened, and you'll be able to accept them and accept what it is that your grievance is, to forgive or to be forgiven. I think those are really the only problems facing a struggling relationship, is the difficulty that we have for either the difficulty we have forgiving them, or the difficulty they have forgiving us, for the difficulty they have in forgiving us. When it comes down to a broken relationship, that's the barrier. Maybe it goes both ways. Well, that's going to take twice as much prayer, isn't it? Oh, forget about it then. No, don't forget about it. Pray all the more. And if they refuse you, or if you just can't bring yourself to forgive that person, pray some more. I know sometimes it's difficult for us to forgive people. I remember talking to one of the young men in prison. He just came up to me, and out of nowhere, he said, I just can't forgive those people. It took me the longest time to figure out who those people were, but he just couldn't forgive those people. That's a great way to start a conversation, isn't it? I just can't forgive those people. Well, by the end of the conversation, he was forgiving those people. They started out being his enemies, and now they are his friends. Isn't it easy being a Christian and being perfect? Not really. It's hard work, but it's so worth it. Amen.
Who can live in your sanctuary? Oh Lord, who can walk on your...
This program has been copyrighted under the Creative Commons Attributes Non-Commercial Share Alike License. For additional information about Faith Community Christian Church, or to contact Pastor Colin, please visit our website at www.faithc3.org.
Well, the benediction is the good and final word, and we put it at the end so you don't miss what came in front of it. And I think for our benediction today, we're just going to pray, because that's what we're asked to do, to pray for our enemies. So join your hearts with me as we pray. Heavenly Father, we are your servants, and we endeavor to do what you want of us, to do what you ask of us, and you have asked us to pray for our enemies. I think we may each have someone in mind today. Soften our hearts, Father. Soften our hearts so that we can see them in a brighter light. As your Son died for them, just as he died for us. Never let us forget that. And if they do not know you, Father God, soften their hearts so that they can know you as well. Soften our hearts so that we can seek forgiveness. Soften their hearts so that they can accept it. We thank you for being with us, Father, and we ask you to help us to continue to pray for those whom we need to pray for. In Jesus' name, amen. You feel better? Maybe you do, maybe you don't. But remember your enemies and pray for them every day. And sooner or later, that little knot in your stomach's going to go away. It will be easier to pray for them, and you'll feel better about praying for them. You really will. This service is over. Your service may now begin. Go from this place and be blessed. Amen.